You know, when the leaders are hands-on, the teams go faster, their companies grow faster, and they get the respect from their team.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. My name is Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice and the host of today's episode. And I'm thrilled to be joined by another founder and CEO, Manoj Ramnani of Sales Intel. I had the good fortune of connecting with the Sales Intel team at an event last week at Inbound. And Manoj, I was just like, you and I got to spend a little bit of time together, and you shared how much like you're still like in the weeds, you're doing the engineering, you're participating, you're creating a ton of content for the team and for the brand. Just really impressive what you've built with Sales Intel. So I'm excited to dig into all of that today. But before I do that, in your own words, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Sales Intel?
Sure. Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you for hosting me here. You know, I'm Manoj Ramnani, founder and CEO of Sales Intel. At Sales Intel, we provide data and intelligence to go-to-market teams. That's your sales, marketing, and revenue operations team, for them to go and build a strong and robust pipeline, right, to hit their numbers. You know, I'm excited to dig in here. Enjoyed meeting you in person. I know we have been on these virtual calls for the last couple of months. It was great to see you at Inbound.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for joining us today. I mentioned it a little bit in the preview, but you have taken a hands-on approach to content, which is unique for a CEO. I think a lot of CEOs view content as a marketing team's responsibility and just kind of pass it off to them. But in today's market, it's so important for people to buy from people. And, you know, whether it's creators, influencers, you're seeing it happen in the B2B space and in the presence of individuals carrying as much weight as the brands themselves. What was kind of the impetus for you jumping in and really participating in Sales Intel's content?
Yeah. So I think there are two big reasons. Number one, you know, we don't have a big VC behind us where we can throw money at getting the brand out there. Every time we onboarded a customer who came from one of our competitors, or they looked at 3-4 solutions and found Sales Intel, it's like, you know, this is an amazing solution. You have such a high quality data, high quality sales signals. How come we have never heard of you? And we just heard those things over and over and over again. We're like, well, we are a small company, 5-year-old. So that was one. On a second end, my marketing team, you know, we're a small marketing team, but amazing, very strong. They said, you know what, I'm a tech CEO, I'm a technologist, you know, that's what I studied, that has been my passion. I happen to be the CEO as well. So they said, you know what, you have to come out and do some webinars or podcasts. I said, I've never done podcasts, but you know what, if you're going to do it, let's just do it right and let me design that. And being an engineer, I wanted to make it a little more than just getting a guest on the call for 20, 30 minutes. Nothing wrong with that, but I want to make it a little more scientific, more data-driven. I say, all right, you know what? We are going to do it. I'm going to become a non-tech, or being on top of tech, I'll be the marketing CEO to help get the brand out there. So that was the impetus behind me starting Pipeline Pioneers. And I had so much fun. I wish I'd done it earlier.
That's awesome. And it feels like everybody, at least CEOs, leaders who jump into that, often say that. Like, I wish I had done this sooner, right? I got talked into in very early days by our marketing team by starting a podcast. And actually, at previous companies, I hadn't done that because I was like, man, that's a lot of work. I'm not sure I'll be able to do it right. And then the second we started doing it, I was like, oh, man, we were really missing out.
Yeah. Once you get the system right, then it becomes like, let's go. And you basically enjoy meeting with so many smart people in the go-to-market side, right? And you get so many insights from them.
It's such a great forcing function for talking to customers, talking to prospects, making sure you're hearing what's happening in the market. That's so good. I skipped right over our icebreaker question, and I see you're sipping on coffee. So I have a feeling I know the answer to this, Manoj, but this is the Content Cocktail Hour. And we always like asking our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays?
I'm a coffee guy. I love this coffee. I'm going to do a free commercial for these guys. The company out of California, I think the Purity Coffee, and they have this new version, Flow. It's just amazing. Right? They have the notes of plum a little bit. So as the fall is coming in, this is amazing coffee. So that's my, you know, cocktail of the hour.
That's your fuel. Do you drink coffee all day into the night? You can sleep after it?
I have gotten much better. So now I'm 3-ish, 4-ish cups. Earlier, I was like, I'll start at 5 a.m. I'll keep going. Now I try to stop by 5 p.m.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for you. Okay. You mentioned your podcast, B2B Pipeline Pioneers. I would encourage everyone to go check that out. I was fortunate enough to be a guest on it. You ask during the podcast, you give us all 100 fake pennies and tell us to allocate our pennies. And you've got sales-led growth, partner-led, community-led, event-led, kind of the traditional different paths for go-to-market. I remember I answered event-led. That was kind of where I spent, I think, 40% of my budget. And that was maybe a little bit unique, and we're smaller and scrappier than I would suspect most of you talked to. But then you showed us in real time on the podcast, like how our answers varied from kind of the base or the total population. Just really cool exercise. So I would encourage everyone to go check that out. But I'm curious for you, doing that exercise, you had to be in the back of your mind thinking about how sales intel kind of allocates your pennies, if you will, or your go-to-market budget. Did that exercise in getting to do it with so many different sales and marketing leaders change how sales intel thinks about allocating its go-to-market budget?
It is funny that you ask. After 3 interviews, I had our marketing team allocate, although we know because I have the numbers where they're allocating the dollars. I asked them to go through the same exercise. And after about 64, 65 interviews, we started to see, you know, the averages, the pattern emerge. No longer go-to-market leaders are putting their pennies on the traditional pipeline generation channels. So the top 3, we still have a few more left to complete the 100, but the top 3 are partnership-led, small community, right? Led growth, and event-led growth. So we have already started the second part of the podcast series, which is partnerships in pipeline. You know, I had Bob, the CEO of Crossbeam, and they merged the two companies with me because they are pioneering the ecosystem-led growth. I had Sangram and Asher Yarbrough, right? So 3 of them were riffing on, how to go to market if partnership-led growth is your go-to-market strategy. And we have, 2 more coming here in the coming. So we'll be now diving deeper into the top 3 and, get the experts on the blog, on the post.
It's so fascinating. I feel like 3-4 years ago, maybe not even that long ago, it was like sales-led or product-led. And those were like the 2 ends of the spectrum. And product-led was a little bit newer and gaining steam. And for neither of those to be in the top 3, that's really fascinating. I'm not surprised by those top 3, though. Those do feel like we're leaning into them at the Juice. I know US Sales Intel. That's really fascinating data that you've gathered through your content. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, look, the traditional sales and the product-led is a unique creature, right? You need the right product, the right market, the right team to pull that off, right? To have a true product-led growth where the experience of product is so awesome, the free product is so awesome that you are forced to pay more, right? But they're very few and far between. And a sales model is not working because the cost of capital has gone up. So you can no longer just throw bodies at a problem, right? So you have to be more creative to solve these problems.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I thought it was interesting. I think oftentimes, maybe incorrectly, people viewed product-led growth as more capital efficient. And it's just, I always thought like you're just allocating capital differently because it has to go into product, it has to go into driving traffic into the product. Yes, you're not paying human capital, but there's still a lot of capital expenditure being done in a product-led motion. So I'd agree with your insight there. I mentioned a little bit earlier, we've ran into each other at a few events now. I've been fortunate enough to see you speak at events. I know you've spent a lot of time on the road. In addition, how have you kind of turned this, your presence personally in market into a go-to-market motion for sales intel?
If you remember, one of the bucket of the founder-led growth, like every founder has different angle to promote their business and promote the brand because they're passionate. They're building this baby with their amazing teams. Now, hard to get the model out there. So my way of getting out in the market is, through the events. I enjoy meeting with our partners, our clients, our prospects, and then, partners like you, learning from each other. And then the second is I'm pretty active in generating the content online, whether it's primarily on LinkedIn, where most of the B2B community is. And my thesis on both those sides is if I can give more than I ask for, I think things are going to be fine for sales intel.
That's beautiful, both in business and in life. Good advice. And then at Inbound, where we just recently met, if you don't mind me sharing maybe a personal anecdote here, you reference, I forget the exact number, but you're still spending a lot of time actually in the code base doing the engineering for sales intel. Do you mind just sharing like kind of your passion and your experience there?
Yeah. So look, I'm an engineer. I have much, much, much smarter engineering team than I ever will be. But I enjoy being in the deep end with them. We are a data company, and data is our biggest asset. So I proudly spend fair bit of time in engineering. There are times when my lead engineers come back, take a look at the code, and say, "Well, it's not going to scale. Let us refactor it," which is fine. I know. Problem with them correcting me. But yeah, you know, I'm in there. I feel that, you know, when the leaders are hands-on, the teams go faster, their companies grow faster, and they get the respect from their team. As long as the teams also know that, look, my CEO's code is never going to be as efficient, you know, as mine, but his logic is going to get the business farther faster. Because the vision is now getting translated three levels down. Right? The vision is coming right to you, right? Okay, this is what we are thinking, and this is the business, this is the plan for whether it's a product feature or a module or the problem that we are trying to solve, right? Interacting with the engineers, that is just so much fun.
Well, and it's especially powerful when you're out in market hearing directly from clients, prospects, customers, partners, and then you're also able at least to start to translate that logic into real product. That's super powerful, and I think probably a big secret to the success you're seeing.
You know, tech CEOs have that as an advantage. They can break down the problem, think critically, and be hands-on with their team. But then, you know, we are inherently very shy. You know, you heard from Dharmesh at Inbound, right? He gets out there on the stage. He's pretty active on LinkedIn and Twitter. But then, you know, inherently, he finds himself behind the terminal writing code.
Yeah, it's fascinating. All right, I mentioned your podcast. We play the 100 pennies game. Encourage everyone to go check that out. On our podcast, the last question we always ask our guests is, what is one unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B sales or marketing? I'm going to put you on the spot with that one.
Yeah, you know, the whole belief that B2B market is crowded, or the data market is crowded, or the MarTech space is crowded, I think it's just not true. There are so many charts that we see that 8,000 products now, and last year there were 4,400 products. I think here's what's going on. There is no shortage of bad products in the market. And the reason behind that is the technology has evolved in last decade or so at such an accelerated pace that the capital required to bring a product to market is much, much lower than it used to be, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. When I started my first company, 20 some years ago, we had to buy servers, right? So if you're thinking of starting a company, first you have to figure out, when am I going to get $20,000 to buy two servers and then buy all the licenses and everything. Today, you know what, a couple hundred bucks, Amazon, AWS, you are up and running. Right? You don't have to pay those Oracle database licenses. So much of that is free. And as a result of that, in not only in sales and MarTech, but in other areas, we just happen to be so close to our own space that this whole notion that there's so many products, yes, they are, but when you double click on those products, there will be 10 products in the same category, but there's one or two products that have any quality that the customer can get value out of, right? People don't like it when I say that, but I see in our space, when you look at the revenue intelligence space, there are probably 20 players in the space, right? Everybody has data, everybody has the same thing. But when you unpack the wrapper, the marketing wrapper, and look at the platform, look at the data, and operationalize the data, you'll realize that, you know what, there's a lot of junk in here. Right? So I feel bad for the customers, you know, on the receiving side, because now they hear from 20 companies the same message. So their task becomes much harder to sift through all the crap, right? To figure out, okay, this is the company that we should go after. And people, as I said, when I talk to VCs about funding those companies, you know, they put $3-4 million, then they get tired. They fire the CEO, bring the new CEO. The new CEO doesn't do anything better, and they end up acqui-hiring the business. They don't like it, and the founders don't like it.
I like it. I think it's a good informed opinion and a unique perspective from your seat. So really appreciate that. I think that map, you know, the map of all the logos, you're right. Everyone's logo is the same size, and it just doesn't account for the quality or kind of what's underneath or the concentration of the market either. So really insightful perspective there. Manoj, if people want to learn more from you or more about Sales Intel, what's the best way to do that?
I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. Connect with me or Manoj at salesintel.io. That's my email. Enjoy the session and look forward to hearing more from your guests, your other guests, as well as your audience.
Awesome. Well, Manoj, thank you for joining us today. To all of our listeners and watchers, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.